And we're talking about waiting. We're talking about waiting in anticipation. We can look at the promises in Scripture and know that God is going to wipe every tear away. We know that God is going to straighten things out. We know that the wicked will not always prosper. Yet we don't see the answers sometimes coming in the way that we expect. But we can look in the faith chapter in Hebrews and see that that's also not new. Because as it goes through the galleries, as it goes through those in the hall of faith, those champions of the hall of faith, it gets down to the end of others not receiving the promise, but waiting and trusting God, even when they didn't have the answers. So when we don't have the answers that we want, when we don't have things working out the way we expect it to, and we get impatient, it's really a sign that we're really not trusting God. Ouch. I don't know about you. You know, that realization that the reason I get impatient with the way things are going is because I'm not trusting that God is really, really, really going to work it out. And that hurts. But it's also absolutely true. And until we come face to face with where we are, we forget. Until we come face to face with where we are, we tend to lose hope and tend to get downhearted. And I can say we, because just as Paul reminded us that I am men of like passions just such as you. And talking about Elijah calling down fire from heaven. He was a man of like passions, yet he spoke the word and the sky was sealed up so that it did not rain for a space of 3.5 years. He's just the normal person that God used, and so are you. So am I. Just a normal person. But God has a plan and purpose in our lives. If He didn't, there's no reason to be here. I've been through enough, I should have been dead. You know, if that one didn't kill me, then that one should have. And if that one didn't kill me, I've been through enough. People asked me one time if I was ever going to get a tattoo. When I was 18, I wanted a tattoo. My mom made me promise not to get a tattoo my first stitch in the Navy. Said, after you reenlist, if you want one, you can get it. By the time I reenlisted, I had so many scars. I have enough identifying marks. You know, I can be picked out of a police lineup. I don't need ink to do it too. God has brought me through a lot of stuff. He's brought each and every one of us through a lot of stuff. Isaiah 40, beginning with verse 28, a very familiar passage. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. We hear that promise like, yeah, we'll just wait on the Lord. We can wait on God. And then our circumstances arrive, and like, come on, Lord. How long, O Lord, until you answer? How long, O Lord, until this straightens out? How long? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. We can't figure out what God is doing. But if we trust that God is at work and God knows what He's doing, then we can rest and wait and be patient in the midst of turmoil. But when we get upset, when we get overwhelmed, when we allow the things we see going on around us to make us doubt our faith, we're forgetting that God is still God. This very famous tapestry, just a little blue background, gold stitching, done by Corrie Ten Boom, and I've used it in the for the bulletin front several years ago. And on the front is this beautiful crown stitched in gold on this fabric, and on the back is this biggest clump of knot and just things that you just drive you absolutely crazy trying to figure out what it is. That's the problem, is we are looking, seeing all the little knots and seeing all the little twists and turns, and we don't see the picture of what God is making. And we get overwhelmed. And we get kind of confused and we get kind of tied up. Look at this mess. Well, this mess is God's doing something absolutely wondrous. But He has to pull a string from here, and a string from here, and a situation from here. What did it take for God to have you sitting here this morning? You ever stop and think about that? I told a story before. Back at Deb and I are coming up on our 25th or 21st wedding anniversary. I didn't forget. I just misspoke. Okay? Our 21st wedding anniversary. But back at our 15th wedding anniversary, we had gone to Branson, Missouri. And we were gone for 12 days. When we come back, we're coming back from Branson, Missouri. Our anniversary is in November. We're having to drive north near the Great Lakes. And we were kind of curious what the weather was like around the Great Lakes, because we know it can be pretty bad. And we're looking online and we can't find anything. We're listening to the radio. We can't find anything. And we're praying, say, God, we just need to know what's going on. We ask that you direct us. So we're in eastern Ohio, about 10 hours from here. And we stopped 10 o'clock in the morning. We've been traveling several hours that morning. And just stopped, get off the highway, take a potty break. As we get off of the highway, we're heading east. Take the right-hand ramp. You know, it's a clover leaf. There are gas stations on three corners of this highway. And a vehicle that had been driving west got off, so a diagonal corner from us, took the loop, and rather than go to the gas station there or the gas station across from them, they came over to the gas station by us. So we're at the stop sign. This car goes past. It's got Vermont plates. This is the first Vermont plates we have seen in 12 days. So they pull up to the gas station pump. We pull past them. I toot the horn. I point back at our license plate. I wave. I park. And I go over to talk to them for just a minute. They are from Hinesburg, which is down south of Burlington. They are on their way to Cincinnati to see their son who moved there a few years ago, 4 years ago. And they say, oh, be real careful around the Great Lakes. There's a horrible storm up there. And I remembered the verse where God says, before you call, I will answer. And I started thinking, how far in advance of our praying, God, we need to know what's going on around the Great Lakes. Should we try to avoid it? What should we do? How far before that prayer did God answer? Was it the 10 hours it took those people to drive from Hinesburg to where we were in Ohio? Or was it the 4 years that the son has been sitting in Cincinnati waiting for them to come? Or was it the however old the son was for him to be born, for him to go to Ohio? How far in advance has God been directing our steps to answer our questions, to answer our prayers, and to show His great love for us? When we see the things going on around us and we get impatient waiting on God, it's simply a fact that we do not trust that God really, really, really knows what He's doing. Lamentations 3, beginning with verse 21, says, this I recall to mind, and therefore I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I have hope in Him. The Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the soul who seeks Him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. But Lord, my situation is desperate. My situation is in turmoil. Everything is going wrong around me. I look and I see the wicked prospering. We're called to wait and trust in the Lord. Now, what does that look like? If you feel like, and maybe you don't, but as you're talking with people, you'll talk to people who feel like God has got a call in their life. I'm supposed to go someplace as a missionary. So the question that comes up is, do you have your passport? You've heard it's a thing going on. One of the many things going on around the internet. There was a community coming together to pray for rain. And they all gathered together, but only one little boy brought the umbrella. Do we act like we believe God is actually going to answer our prayers? Or do we just cry out to the Lord, okay, Lord, and then go home? Don't know why he hadn't done it yet. God does not work on my schedule. God does not work on my schedule. He doesn't work on yours either. But God knows what He's doing, and God is the one directing our steps. When we are waiting, are we waiting in anticipation of God answering? Or are we just, come on, Lord, why is this still going on? When we pray for healing, do we expect people to be healed? When we pray for people to be saved, when we pray for salvation, when we pray for our lost loved ones, do we expect God to answer the prayer? Or do we just get discouraged because it doesn't work out in our timing? Can we say, Lord, I don't know how it is You're going to bring it to pass, but I know it is not Your will that any should perish. I know Your Word tells me that if I commit my ways unto You, that You will save my household. Do I trust that? Do I cry out to the Lord for that? Do I know that God is in control even when I don't see the results of what I'm expecting? Do I still have hope and expectation that God is going to move in a miraculous way? That God, that nothing that we commit to the hands of the Lord is wasted or is lost. That He is still at work. I tell you what, I've got a daughter she hasn't spoken to me in over 25 years. Rips my heart out, but I know that God loves her. And I know He hasn't given up on her. And I know if I try pushing, I'm going to drive her away. So all I can do is trust that God is at work in her life, drawing her, working in her. And I've told her mother and I've told other people, I had much rather spend eternity in heaven with my daughter than try to push something that is not yet time for and drive her away from the hand of God. That she gets so bitter in her heart that she turn away. Lord, we need You. But Lord, we trust in You and we wait on You and we expect that You know exactly what it is that You're doing. Psalm 27, beginning with verse 11. What's that? No, Psalm 27, verse 11. Not Psalm 37. Back up. Guess what I forgot to do? I didn't forget to do it. I thought I did it. Praise God. For those listening online, I am adding in a scripture that I just... 11, 14, add... Done. Save. We'll get there. There we go. Psalm 27, verse 11. It says, teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries or false witnesses as have risen against me, as such as breathe out violence. Let me stop right there for just a second. Do we ever look around and find ourselves being falsely accused? Look around and find ourselves coming up against us? Look around and find turmoil in our lives? We're like, Lord, we're following You. Lord, we're trusting in You. Lord, we're relying upon You. Why does this opposition come up? The carnal mind is at enmity with God. It tells us in Corinthians. The carnal mind is an enemy of the things of God. They don't understand it. It's foolishness to them. I'm just trying to save you from your foolishness, buddy. No, you're not. But you don't know that. So then we have to go back to, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers of the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Recognize that people aren't our enemy, but the Spirit leading them, Spirit motivating them is. That way we can have compassion, recognizing they're sheep lost without a shepherd, just as Jesus did. if our heart breaks with compassion for the people around us that are lost and stumbling in darkness and don't know any better, then we can pray for them and we can lift them up and cry out to God to touch and turn their hearts. Lord, remove the blinders from their eyes. Open their mind. Give them eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart to understand. But as long as we look at them like they're our enemy, they're our adversary, they're just my problem, rather than somebody desperately needing a Savior, then we don't have a heart of compassion for them. Or at least I don't. You know? Praise God, maybe you who are spiritual will see one overtaken in fault and pray for me, because I can use it. We need God's grace in our lives, each and every one of us. Verse 13. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. When we're waiting on God, trust that He is going to display His goodness. Maybe it's answering little prayers. Seemingly little prayers. I got a job. I was able to find a key. I had somebody answer the question as to whether or not I should avoid the area around the Great Lakes. Whatever it was. Because that adds a couple of hours to the trip. If the weather's good. And it can save days if the weather's bad. God answering prayers. Let me read that again. Verse 13. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. If I did not believe that God answered prayers, that God shows His grace and love and mercy to me, then the things going on around me would overwhelm me to the point I would wanted to give up. But I know who God is. I know He is great and gracious. He loves me. He directs my steps. He has proven His love to me so many times and in so many ways. That when I stopped running from Him and I turned around, it was like He was right there with His arms wrapped around me to open up His arms and welcome me back. When I recognized the great love of God, it put everything else in a different perspective. It changed my mind about everything else. Knowing that God is still God. God loves me. He is in control. Whatever the situation arises, however things come up, I still know that God is God. I still know that He is good. I know that He is faithful. I know when I have nothing else to depend on, God is all I need. God is all I need, whether I think I have anything else to depend on or not. God is all I need. Verse 14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. As we're waiting on God, things don't always line up the way that we think they ought to. Because remember I mentioned that tapestry with the crown on the front and the bunch of knots and all the strings going everywhere on the back. I made a mistake one time in here. I was talking about my wife's cross stitch and how the back was all knotted. And she says, oh no, it's not. My wife does a beautiful job with her crafts, by the way. Praise God. Carrying on. Psalm 37, beginning with verse 1. This is the part we tend to forget. Or this is one of the many parts we tend to forget. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. Does it ever seem like you see people that are, you know they're doing wrong, but they tend to seem to prosper in their ways? Seems like they can get away with it. You know, nothing bad ever seems to happen to them. Seem to be able to, you know, things that I would get called on the carpet for, other people can do with impunity. And they get upset. We get upset about that, and we kind of say, it's not fair, like we're 2-year-olds. Verse 2, for they shall soon be cut down like grass and wither as the green herb. You're like, Lord, you said soon. Lord, you said soon. Trying to put God on our timing. It doesn't work. have to remember that a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, as 1,000 years is as a day. They shall soon be cut down. Trust in the Lord and do good and dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Has God been taking care of you? I don't know of anybody that can shake their head no to that. I really don't. Trust in the Lord and do good and dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Yes, Lord, I've got this big long list. No, we forget that first part. It says, delight yourself in the Lord. Lord, whatever you want, because all of your ways are right. Commit your way to the Lord and trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger, forsake wrath, do not fret, it only causes harm. When we get upset about what other people are doing, rather than try and serve God ourselves and be a light and a witness of how to walk in faithful obedience to the Lord, then we lose our credibility as a witness. When we get angry at what other people are doing, when we get wrathful, when we start causing problems, it says it only causes harm. There's a scripture in one of the epistles, and I can't even say for sure that it's over there in Paul's writings, as my dad would say, but I know it's in one of the epistles. And that little rabbit trail right there just cost me my train of thought. Praise the Lord. I don't know what I was about to say, but it was important. Oh, yes. Only through pride comes contention. When we get contentious with somebody, when we get argumentative with somebody, it's because of pride. Only through pride comes contention. Another verse says, when envy and strife are, there's confusion and every evil work. When we get in turmoil with somebody, it brings about evil work. How is that going to display the righteousness of God? There's another verse that says, the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. If we get upset with people in our own flesh, it is not God's doing. It is not God's to God's benefit. It is not being a faithful witness to who God is. But if we can be calm in the midst of things, pray for people we see bound up in deception. Pray for people we see in turmoil. Pray for those around us, those who, you know, Jesus said, pray for your enemies and those who despitefully use you. Praise God. What do you mean I have to be despitefully used? How is that a good plan? God is the one who sees the end from the beginning. As we pray for those who despitefully use us, as we pray for those who persecute us, as we pray for those who stand in opposition to us, with a true heart, recognizing that they are in bondage to their own wickedness, that they are in bondage and just wrapped up in their confusion and the spirit, just, you know, the spirit of the enemy just trying to tear them down and confuse them. If we pray for them, then our heart opens up that God's love can flow through. If instead we get our back up, we get all defensive, we get argumentative and we, you know, get up in their face just like they get up in ours. We stand in our own strength, we fall. We stand in the strength of the Lord. We are gentle, kind, easy to be entreated. We are gracious. We are loving. That's what happens when God's Spirit is working through us and we're in the midst and we find ourselves in these situations. Verse 9, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. Yet a little while, and the wicked will be cut off. The evildoers will be cut off. Jonathan Edwards had a famous sermon, Sinners in the Hand of an Angry God. And it was said that as he delivered his message, had it on his podium, eyes never looking up, just reading what he had written, that the Spirit of the Lord worked in such of a way that those hearing it were clinging to the pillars of the building because they envisioned themselves falling into hell. Do we have a vision of those lost falling into hell, and does it break our hearts? Are we trusting? Are we crying out for the souls of those that are lost? Are we crying out for the souls of those who would stand in opposition to us? Remember, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities and powers. People are not our enemy. They are lost. They are deceived. They are trapped. We can go up to them and tell them all day long they're wrong. It's not going to work. But if we come up to them and show them the love of God in our lives, then we become a vessel for the Master to use to touch them, to draw them, to show them His grace. While we're waiting for God to fulfill His Word, are we being proactive? Are we crying out to be instruments of His grace, instruments of His mercy, instruments of His love to touch the lives of the people around us? We need to be. Jesus said, whatsoever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Another place it says that everything we should do is unto the Lord. That includes as we go about our lives, as we go about our business, as we go about our work, as we go about our vacation, as we go about whatever we're doing. Grocery shopping. Do you ever stop to think that your grocery shopping could be a ministry? Probably didn't. But you know what? If our lives are committed to the Lord, then everything we do becomes an opportunity to show God's grace and love and mercy to somebody around us. Every situation we find ourselves in becomes an opportunity to demonstrate the love of God flowing through us. There's going to be somebody that needs a smile. There's going to be somebody that needs some encouragement. There's going to be somebody that needs to know that somebody cares. Every day is an opportunity to do that if we're trusting God to direct our steps. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delights in his ways. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with His right hand, with His mighty hand. God picks us up and guides us, and He's called us to be His hands and feet extended to this generation. We are not here by mistake. If God is ordering our steps and we are here right now, it is because God's plan involves us being here right now. Not just in this location, but in this generation, in this day and age, in this nation. Wherever we are, we're there because God is directing our steps. Getting back to those people from Hinesburg, God had directed their steps to have them right there. I mean, I pulled up to the stop sign and the car went back past with Vermont plates. God's timing is perfect. So when we were saying, God, you're not doing things on my time, well, my time's wrong. But God's time is right. And when we trust God to do that, that God knows what He's doing, and we stop fighting and stop battling, then we become part of His grace to show His love to the people around us. Praise the Lord. Father, we do thank You for Your Word. We thank You, Father, that while we are waiting, we are admonished not to be anxious, not to be in turmoil, not to be wrapped up, not to be impatient, but rather to wait with patience and to wait with expectation, anticipation of what it is that You're doing. Knowing, Father, that Your ways are always right, even though Your ways are beyond finding out, they are still right and perfect. And as we trust in You, Lord, we know, Father, that You will bring it to pass. So, Father, we give glory and praise. We do give thanks, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.